Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the free radio.com app.
Well, let's get things going officially. Some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Some bad news. You know, the Wiznator always seems like a good idea until it doesn't. If you're not familiar, Ian is actually...
Is that like a wizard version of the Terminator?
It is close.
That would be cool as hell. That's a movie we need to make.
It is it's a fake ding-a-ling.
Oh, that's and, not a wizard. Yeah. It's a Terminator? Yeah.
Well, cool. I mean, it depends on your perspective. I guess it could be.
Can it pull something
a
out
wizard
of a hat?
And a Terminator? Ian actually used to sell these, believe it or not. This guy.
Dave, that was illegal. We weren't supposed to.
Oh, I was kidding about that.
Thank you.
He definitely did not used to sell these along with powdered urine.
Nothing of the sorts.
Wizinators are illegal to sell?
In some states, yes.
In the state that you were in, were they illegal to sell?
Yes.
Ah. So you had to sell them like a...
Under the counter. So imagine me going under the counter and grabbing one of these and having to like... Finagle the package.
Like a fake ding-a-ling?
Yeah.
Was there
like
a hand
grab
signal?
A fake ding. I don't like that.
No, there wasn't a hand signal.
Did they brush their nose and point at you and wink? Or
no,
like,
it was just like, hey, you got the Wizinator? I'm like, are you a cop? All right, here you go.
Do you know that when you ask a cop if they're a cop, that they absolutely do not have to
they
tell
don't
you?
Have
that's
to.
Just a stupid thing that they tell you in movies.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
Like,
you came
like, up yeah, like when you're selling somebody drugs like, and you go, are you a cop? And the thinking is, well, if they're a cop, they, by law, have to tell. No, they
you
don't.
You got
to
tell me.
No, they don't.
No, but
that's such garbage.
The litmus test, show me your b-hole.
Yep.
What?
Yep. If you'll
show me
if you'll show me that b-hole, dude, woman. Dog,
doesn't matter.
Whatever.
The dog.
Well, he lifts his tail. He's, yeah,
he's like,
not a cop.
You're wearing a badge, Fido. Well, this guy was a landscaper. He was arrested for attempting to cheat on a urine test while wearing the phony ding-a-ling at a probation office. The 28-year-old Nathan was busted during a strip search. He voluntarily removed the false junk, sold under the brand name The Wiznator. So if you're not familiar, you attach it to the area where the real one is, and it's got a little fake plastic bladder. And it's filled with normally fake urine, which we just found out this morning is powdered urine that you can buy sometimes at the same place. Definitely not where Ian used to work.
I know some people who sold their urine.
I have heard of that as well. I don't know. Do the Wiznators work with real urine, or do you have to use the fake urine?
Oh, you can use real
just
urine.
Just use wherever you want.
You
got to
keep it warm.
You do.
Yeah.
But not too warm.
Not too warm. It can't be hot.
So we just got people microwaving urine everywhere.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And the Wiznator
is still better than fish in a microwave.
Yes.
Urine still better. Tops fish is still better.
The official quote here from the officer, I observed the device of an artificial male penis attached to a plastic bladder and a white cloth, which is used to secure the device around the waist. The fluid used to pass the urinalysis was disposed of from the device. So, Wiznator did not work out for old
Nathan.
So
he was hammer hawking.
He was. He's checking out that ding-a-ling.
Uh-huh.
Just another day at the office.
What you got going on? Whoa.
Hello. Little too big and a little too plastic.
There's been a couple incidents of that in professional sports, too.
Yeah.
We were part of a fight card where
a fighter tried to use a Wiznator to pass the test.
This might be a silly question. Do they come in different, like, shades?
Yeah, like
Ian?
We only sold one.
Did
so,
you really?
Yeah,
oh.
Only one.
Was
so
it a
I don't
neutral
know.
Color or was it?
It was,
like,
was it for white guys?
Yeah, it was for people like
that,
me.
That
very pale.
Sucks. What a-
very, very pale.
Yeah, that's racist.
They need to
update racist like- ass penis.
So racist.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Now, Mahoney, I know there's a lot of anti-vaxxers out there that get their information from credible places like memes on Facebook, so they're probably not going to like this, but an actual study was done by researchers and experts.
Dave, if you're telling me my stay-at-home drunk dad Facebook group is not an accurate source of information...
You're in that, too. That's great.
Yes, I am.
I didn't know. I'll start liking your posts.
You work too much.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
A new report found that vaccines against 10 major diseases prevented 37 million deaths between 2000 and 2019 in specifically low- and middle-income countries worldwide with... children benefiting the most.
This
so I know that you're out here crusading, thinking that you're a Billy Badass against vaccines. 37 million prevented deaths.
Just think if like the measles went untreated again.
Over
you
the course...
millions of people died from the measles or smallpox.
37 million people over the course of less than 20 years and mostly children.
Yeah.
See, Mahoney, you said that this feels low, but I mean, this is saying just deaths, 37 million. That's not saying also prevented like the actual disease itself.
Just the illness, right? Actual deaths from disease. Vaccinations are also projected to prevent a total of 69 million deaths between 2000 and 2030. The greatest benefit is among children under the age of five.
I wish we had a time machine that we could just, like, not, you know, like, send people back in time. To, like, you know, like
the time when these diseases actually ran rampant,
when they rampaged through the world and killed people indiscriminately, and then we discovered this thing called science and basically eradicated them until one thing science didn't count for is dumbass people like you.
So Vladimir Putin not having a great time right now. He has resorted to jailing journalists for retweeting jokes. I wish that was a joke. It's not. Vladimir Putin took a new dark turn towards authoritarianism when his regime began
to... They are like the pinnacle of authoritarianism.
I know, but somehow...
He's even further, it's getting worse.
Okay. It's getting worse.
Well, when you're jailing journalists for retweeting jokes, it's pretty bad. How bad was the joke?
I mean, not really.
Russia's really going. They've been going through it, but right now I feel like over the course of the last few weeks... It's been really depressing, really sad to watch.
Well, there's riots over there, and they're just beating people in the streets
just
and
everyone.
Throwing everyone in jail.
I mean, it reminds me of kind of what Hong Kong was about this time last year.
As if we need a reminder that the Soviet Union and China do not give a single F about their citizens, here we are again reporting another story, like you were saying, that is very reminiscent of what we saw. I mean, the whole reason that China had such an easy time stamping out the... protests in Hong Kong is because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
They leveraged that for their cause
because
to steal back
that,
Hong Kong.
Yes.
Yes.
And now there's 8 million people who have the potential that... I love that the UK is offering them asylum.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
So a top Space Force general says that America owns space. Do we? Is that how it works?
Can we just pay for it?
Can we just plant a flag even though you can't plant a flag in space?
What if we run into aliens who already have leased this timeshare? You know, like, what if the moon's a timeshare for, like, some, you know, aliens?
What if it's just a big timeshare?
Those are so tough to get out of.
They really are.
Unless you call that one attorney.
That one guy. Whatever his name is.
He's been fighting for 20 years.
I've been helping a lot of people out of their timeshare.
He'll come for it.
Hell yeah, he will.
He's going to the moon.
So where is that guy?
He's in orbit.
Is this just saying that America owns space from, like a American buff, like, flex?
Yeah, it's a flex.
Like, we've been doing the most scientific research in outer space over all other places. I mean, is that what this is supposed to be?
Hooray, America. I mean, I love America, but I don't think that we can just say that outer space is ours.
But I don't think that's how it works. Certainly that's not what he's actually meaning.
That's what we did with this country, Dave.
Oh, I know, but that's when people were just finding pieces of land.
We didn't find a piece of land. There was a whole like group of people.
I know, but that was before
we were here.
It was before all of the wars, before all of it really got sorted out.
Shout out to the Louisiana Purchase.
That's the first time I think that we've had a shout out to the Louisiana Purchase.
Really?
Maybe recently. At least recently.
I was reading about the Louisiana Purchase.
Very random.
So, you know, we bought it from Napoleon.
Yes. Wasn't it like $45 million for all of it?
Which ended up funding another war against the UK.
Neat.
So, like, in a way, we borrowed money from the UK to buy the Louisiana Purchase from the French, and then we gave that money back to the French, which funded a war from them against the British. So it was a very, very weird menage a trois love triangle.
We should have just bought a big house in Calabasas.
I mean, the property value, think about what, you know, 200 years of appreciation.
The Louisiana Purchase encompassed 828,000 square miles.
Oh, yeah.
So to give you an idea of what was in that,
Arkansas, West,
Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Minnesota, Louisiana, New Mexico, Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, parts of Canada as well, Alberta,
technically, the French didn't own Texas either. That was part of Mexico.
We just pretended.
We took that back. We took that too, Dave. So again, American tradition. We just taking stuff, calling it our own, and pretending to stick our head in the sand.
Conquering was a very normal thing back then, though, as well. Like everyone was conquering.
Yes. I don't know. I just think that if I was to go join a branch of the military, because I'm definitely not fit for any of them, except for maybe the Space Force.
You think that you'd belong in Space Force?
Because, like, I mean,
you being fat all of a sudden doesn't matter anymore. There's no gravity.
Weightless in space.
Boom.
Exactly. Done. And nobody can hear me cry in space either.
Finally, there's one woman in Idaho who just won $500,000 playing the lottery, but not in just one swoop like most people do. She won $200,000 on a jackpot for a scratch-off ticket.
Damn.
And then won $300,000 the next day.
Atta girl.
If you won $200,000 on a scratcher and you go to buy another scratcher the next day, you may be a junkie.
There's literally nothing else to do in Idaho.
She said, I had bought some tickets.
Beautiful. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you walk around outside of my lottery tickets. That's what you do. Now. Yeah. I bought some tickets already. Then I had $20 left over, so I thought, what the heck? I'll get a grand fortune ticket. When I scanned the ticket, it said I had to contact the Idaho Lottery for my winnings. Never would have thought that would have happened. I checked. It was a $200,000 winner. I couldn't believe it. The following day, she comes in, got a coming-in-hot scratch-off ticket, visited the lottery headquarters, combined them into one check for $500,000. They presented her with that huge check. She didn't even smile in the picture.
Well, because she's thinking of all the taxes she's going to have to pay. If this was Canada... We don't got to pay. They don't got to pay.
Why do you keep hawking for Canada? What's going on?
They don't pay taxes on their lotto winnings.
Yeah, no, I get that, but it seems like you have this weird affinity for taking up for the Soviet Union and Canada today.
No, I'm not taking up for the Soviet Union.
I mean, you know, you did create an entire intro for our show that has the Soviet Union theme.
I hope it was a joke.
It's because you're a dick dictator. That's why.
A dictator tot?
Yes.
All right.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, this is Heidi. About money being found, I used to work at a university as a foot patrolman. And one of the foot patrolmen found an entire semester's worth of tuition and cash. Cool. So it was around $3,000, and they turned it in, and it turned out some foreign student had taken out the cash to pay his tuition and dropped it all. But it got turned in, and that was really cool.
Message deleted.
Could you imagine?
What is a footman patrolman? Is that just somebody that walks
around?
I also imagine they are from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Remember the foot soldiers from the Foot Clan?
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Always really looked very phallic, like those masks that they wore. You're like, why are the Ninja Turtles fighting eggplants?
Also, I hated that they were called the Foot. It was like the weirdest.
Well, don't you have a weird aversion to feet in general?
Not really, no. Like, feet are
fine. What's your problem with feet?
I just don't like whenever you have, like, a evil clan and you call yourselves the Foot.
But what if they were, like, the
hand? It's like a singular
hand.
Foot. Why not the feet?
Are you?
You're multiple people.
Are you saying that you're not going to be a subscriber to the show's Foot Picture OnlyFans page?
No.
Huh.
I just got my pedicure done. What the hell?
Yeah, he spent a lot of money on that.
Come on.
Yeah,
I support you.
You think I'm growing these nails out on my left toe for anywhere?
You can't subscribe for the $5 per month.
No, see, this is what we're doing right now. We're letting other people know to subscribe for their $5. You don't need mine.
Well, I mean, you could just subscribe and not look. Have you ever thought about that?
No.
So it's kind of like most people do with our Twitch stream.
It's called charity, Audrey.
It's called charity.
Here's $5. Leave me alone.
So we were talking last week about my foot and the and lazy bones. How the toenails.
You refuse to cut your toenails.
I still haven't cut the.
What is wrong with you?
Look like a velociraptor down there.
Is it possible to have a Coke nail on your foot?
I hate you so much. Cut your toenails.
It seems gross until you're at a party and then you're the cool guy all of a sudden.
That's right.
Okay, out of all you guys on the show, I want to know who's most likely to host a show gathering at their house. Like, I mean, does everybody go to Audrey's house or Dave's house?
Message deleted.
Who's what? What? It sounds like
show gathering. I feel like
have a show gathering at their house.
Yeah, and I feel like it's Mahoney. Mahoney's got the house.
Yeah,
we all go to.
The thing with Mahoney is, you know, him and his wife have a lovely house. He's very, very, very rich.
Oh, certainly,
very rich.
Yeah.
No,
it's
but
a mansion.
The reason why we go over to Mahoney's house most of the time is because he doesn't have kids, right? If we're going over to Mahoney's house, my wife and I will normally get a sitter, right, and leave the kids at home so we can go over and watch a fight. And this is all pre-COVID stuff. But Mahoney's got a great house, and it seems like you enjoy hosting.
Sometimes, yeah. People I like. I like having people over on occasion. But then, like at like 9 o'clock, my wife's like, everybody get the hell out.
We got to wrap this up. Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's fine.
I'm like, you know, if I've had a couple drinks,
I'm
like, we're going to listen to 90s music and see
that
who can guess this song.
You're like, who wants to hear some New Radicals? Use Give.
Please leave a message after the tone.
They're back.
I just wanted to call to let everyone know that sushi burritos suck.
Fact.
Actually, I think they're the worst food creation ever.
Mm. Message deleted.
I don't know if they're the worst ever.
They're definitely not the worst ever.
But
relax.
They are pretty much garbage.
I love... Okay. They're just hard to eat.
Which makes it garbage.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, I just would rather in bowl form.
Yeah. Oh. Just get a bowl. They make sushi bowls.
Yeah.
Poke bowls. Yeah. Oh, wow, that sounds so good for lunch. It's early in the morning.
If you were talking about, you know, eating sushi, though, and you're trying to come up with an original concept for a restaurant, it's all been done before.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, you know what else I like besides sushi? Burritos. Let's try putting them together.
But if they had burritos and then sushi separate, I think it would be more successful because you could draw people in.
So
you're getting the worst of the burrito and you're getting the worst of sushi.
So you're saying you want a separate burrito and then a separate plate of sushi?
It's like a Carl's Jr. with a green burrito attached to it, or a KFC Long John Silver's, or a KFC Taco Bell, which we don't... I miss the dual...
Yeah, like, what's up, Yum Brands? Like, what do you...
Where's your synergy? You're a corporation. Did you forget that word? No, you didn't.
But you know what was really bad?
Email. Every email.
Is whatever you could taste, whatever the other franchise's oil was.
Yeah.
And you always could.
Especially if it's fish.
You know what that corporation needs to do? They need to circle back to that synergy.
Hell yeah.
That's what they need to do. They just got to circle back.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So there's been a lot of talk as of late what to do about big tech, right? The problem is that most politicians don't really seem to have a good grasp on how to control it or what to do because they don't fully understand it. And that does make sense. It's not something... like we've vetted out over the course of 50 years in this country. I mean, big tech has really taken control of the lives and the thinking of a lot of people over the course of the last 10 years.
Yeah, I would say even prior to that when we had the, you know, AOL and Microsoft were the two biggest ones.
You had to go seek that out, though,
yes.
Right? I mean, if you have a smartphone, big tech is in your face all day, every day, literally tracking everything that you do, every word that you say. Many of the apps are just stealing your information, and they don't really know what to do about it because, again, it's...
They don't understand it because they're old and stupid.
But what they do understand is that they're seeing all these big tech companies gobble up a lot of these competitors that come along and then just shutting them down.
Do you remember when we broke up the
out of business? Yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah. In our lifetime, in your and mine life, yours and my lifetime, we have seen that happen. I think that needs to happen with Facebook and some of these other ones.
Well, so, I mean, even Amazon, and I know I tease and I joke that I'm obsessed with Amazon, but I mean, truly, it's one of the only things that I feel like as a people, we're so okay with monopolizing. Like, they are an actual monopoly. And they're growing even larger, especially whenever they're going to start implementing all this pharmacy, service.
Well,
they're
Amazon's
huge, every
corner. But the thing that you don't even talk about is that they own like the Amazon Web Services. If you remember a few weeks ago when everybody was talking about Parler and how
they booted them off of their Amazon Web Services. The back end of
a lot,
almost the entire internet.
The show,
yeah,
our back end's all through Amazon. Yeah,
crazy.
But big tech should not get a pass, according to Amy Klobuchar, who is the senator from Minnesota. She unveiled a new antitrust law that aims at big tech and prevents Google, Facebook, and Amazon from gobbling up all these smaller companies
Facebook?
That come along. What do you mean, what about Facebook?
She said, you said Google, Amazon, and
Facebook.
No, Facebook, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you for listening. If we don't,
I just missed that one part.
She said, if we don't do anything, shame on us. It's not just sitting there and pulling constant hearings and where we're yelling at executives and throwing popcorn at them. I'm sure that will go on. She said, but there has to be broader rules in place because right now that we have a monopoly problem in our country. And that's true. There's a lot of good companies that get started, including with good intentions, which is what many of these. I mean, if you look back at the history of Google, their intentions did start pretty good. Their whole tagline was do no evil. And then when you remove that as your tagline for your company and your positioning statement.
Do some evil just so long as it's profitable.
Well, but they're
do
not profitable even getting, evil, they're not getting fined. And if they are getting fined, it's changed the billions of dollars
they
that they're
creating.
They
may get booted out of Australia.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that.
Well, and there's been big changes in Europe as well, right?
Yeah. Well, the right to be forgotten is one of the big things that we don't have here. And a lot of the, you know, there's a lot of European countries who are, you know, instituting and coming up with, you know, digital bills of rights, or at least parts of that could be considered a digital bill of rights. And I think that we here in the United States, that is the next frontier, what we need. And it shouldn't be a partisan issue on whether or not you agree that you should be able to have privacy on your...
That's not partisan. I mean, everyone believes that. But I mean, Audrey, I found myself giving up a lot of my privacy to Amazon because they make my life more convenient.
So much convenient. Yeah. Right. And I think that, like, whenever we go and have these trials, because Google's been on trial, Mark Zuckerberg's been on trial for a lot of things.
Well, at least in
hearings,
politics. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But nothing's ever come of it because I feel like politics really plays a lot into
it. They donate a lot of money to these politicians.
Yep. And not only that, I think that some of them are so old, they don't get
That's exactly the other thing is
that they know that they know everything about them, too, right? I mean, like, big tech knows everything.
Sent the D-picks to.
Exactly.
So it's almost just like the hearings are for show.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Without a doubt.
Like, hey,
but, you know, you've got some younger, you know, Amy Klobuchar is not, I would say, you know, she's a younger U.S. senator, but she's not, like, young by traditional standards. She's not, like, in
84?
Her 30s.
Yeah.
Right.
But I like the fact that she's talking about this. But what needs to happen is they got to break them up, and we need to set some, like, serious limits on, like, where our privacy begins and what they can and can't do with our information.
Well, speaking of big tech, Apple is rolling out their new VR headset, their virtual reality headset, and as you'd expect, it is expensive. How much do you think it is for the new Apple VR headset?
I mean, I just bought the stupid Apple headphones, which I love. And those were $500.
Those were $600.
$550.
He's rounding in his favor.
No, they were $599.
I mean, that's with tax.
Okay.
I don't know how to round.
I'm giving money.
I'm funding the infrastructure of America with my tax purchases.
They're made in China.
To a monopoly.
No, but the tax still goes to Americans.
Okay, got it. Okay. So, how much for the VR headset?
$2,000.
Close.
$3,000. Whoa.
Like $3,000 is the price of a car. Like, I mean, a crappy car.
My first car.
That is insane and not worth it to me. Not worth it.
Some people love VR and gaming and doing other things. For me, it's not there. But like, I could see that there are some really good uses for VR. Like if you are limited in your mobility and you can't like do things, like then VR makes a whole lot of sense. And nobody's going to be using it for that stuff.
Everyone's going to be trying to watch porn on it.
Well, I mean, they'll use it for that stuff, and then they'll also watch porn with it as well. You know, if you do have limited mobility, or you can't leave your house, or whatever may be.
What are you talking about with limited? I mean, I'm not needling you. I'm really curious. I mean, I've always thought of VR as just a gaming system.
Like, let's say you're wheelchair bound.
Okay.
You know, and you can't go hike Everest.
Oh, so like virtual. Okay, yes. That makes sense. Yeah, like if you virtually want to go experience things that you may not be able to physically be able to do. Got it.
And there'll be like I think the way that this technology is progressing, you'll be able to do like there's going to be like live streaming of VR in the not
concerts.
Too distant. I mean, you can do it right now, but it's still in its like kind of infancy. But I think as this technology continues to grow,
it just feels very Matrix-esque to me to be like sitting at home with a headset on where I can't see what's actually going on around me and watching a concert.
I don't even want to be next to somebody right now, even pre-post-COVID. I don't even want to be standing next to somebody all sweaty. That's not the experience that I want. I want to be like on stage.
See, for me, the last time that I did VR, it was at the MGM on the Strip. Yep. And it was one of those like rooms where you go in and you fight zombies and you have the guns and the VR headset. And you're actually in a relatively small room, but it's like this cool adventure. I accidentally hit my wife in the face with my plastic gun.
So you're never.
Well, I mean, I don't.
You're never going to get one of those in your own home.
Yeah, she don't trust me.
You pistol whipped your own wife.
Unintentionally. I thought she was a zombie.
Fair.
She deserved it.
It's the movie quote quiz on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So Audrey gets the advantage here because she is younger than Mahoney and also hasn't spent the vast majority of her life sitting in front of a screen. I mean, in the last few years, it's been a screen, but it's more TikTok than consuming old movies. Mm-hmm. So the movie quote quiz, these are all popular movies that you've at least heard of. You've probably seen, maybe even seen numerous times. But the challenge is that you only get a short clip. So normally around 10 seconds. So Audrey, you get the option. You want to go first or second on the first one. And the other advantage is that you get is you can tag me in for one if you choose as this game goes along.
Ian, should I go first or second?
Audrey, I am not colluding with you. So I am not going to give you any sort of recommendation.
Can you just like blink once for one?
He looks
seized.
Like he's having
okay.
a seizure.
Yep. I'm just going to go for number one.
She's going like first on number one. If you need to hear the clip a second time, no problem. But after I play it that second time, you only have 5 seconds to figure it out. If you get one right today, it's the Screaming Eagle of Success. If you get it incorrect, it's the Disapproving Pony. Whoever gets more correct out of the five is going to be the winner. Here we go with number one, Audrey, first crack. Good luck.
No, we don't have a backup plan. This is it.
And this is the best that the government, the U.S. government can come up with? I mean, you're NASA, for crying out loud. You put a man on the moon. You're geniuses. You're the guys that think his shit up.
I have no clue. I'm going to take a crack at it. Is it Armageddon?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yes,
it is. I thought Willis was talking about space.
The only space movie I know.
You know what's funny is that when I first heard that, that sounded like Nicolas Cage to me.
I thought it was too.
At the very beginning.
Let's listen to it again. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, we don't have a backup plan. This is it.
And this is the best.
Does that sound like him?
That's Billy Bob Thornton.
That's Billy Bob Thornton. That sounds like Billy.
Same, but kind of different.
No, we don't have a backup plan. This is it.
And this is the best that you can.
All right. So,
Audrey. Did you see that Billy Bob Thornton is on the crazies hit list?
Is he really?
Yeah. Huh. Like Billy Bob, like why would he be on?
Mahoney, you get the first pass here at the second quote. Good luck.
Why should I loan you my car?
I want to rent a movie.
You want to rent a movie?
I want to rent a movie. What's that for?
You work in a video store.
I work in a video store. I want to go to a good video store so I can get a good movie.
Is that Clerks?
That's what I was going to say.
That is Clerks.
That's Clerks, yeah.
Nice.
Clerks. Like what are the movies there about a video store?
Please Be Kind, Rewind.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Sure. On number three, Audrey, you're first.
We've gotten along just fine without brains till now. Cavemen don't need brains. We have these. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Ideas are for weaklings.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm just, it's Nick Cage in a caveman movie. Mm-hmm. It's got to be Croods 2.
Nope.
Croods number one?
She said Croods 2.
Well, Croods.
Well, it's talking about like another Nicolas Cage movie because we had just mistaken that first one. She's saying Croods as well.
Wait, that's not fair.
No, it's Croods. It's Croods. It's Croods.
You're going to knock.
Yes, it's Croods.
Sympathy point.
Uh-huh. Yes,
you're going to knock me for saying Croods 2.
Yes,
because
that was clearly
the original. But he's in both of them.
But this is a clip from the original Croods.
Okay.
Croods it is. She gets a full point.
Uh-huh. Crude War.
Collusions.
Croods Gate. I've never seen Croods 2.
Crude Illusion.
Crude Illusion. Shut up. All right, so Mahoney has a point. Audrey has two. Here we go, Mahoney.
Yo, I got demons running all through me. All through me. Come on down here and see it. And hey, now, you get a free demon possession with every exorcism. You can't beat that, can you?
Maybe Michael Keaton's most fine work of all time.
For sure.
And I would be okay with the sequel if they're going to go through with it. But that is the original Beetlejuice.
Is there multiple Beetlejuices?
Well, there's the cartoon series.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
He's getting very specific now after that Croods 2.
Yeah.
Each of you have 2 points. Audrey, first crack at the last one here.
Nervous.
For the win.
Okay.
My killers who will not take no for an answer. My warriors who will not hang up the phone until their client either buys or dies!
Yeah, for the my win. Boy, Leonardo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street.
There you go.
Oh, he was so hot in that movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Margot Robbie was hot.
She was also very hot in that movie.
Yeah, she was.
You know, they said you didn't have to get naked, and she was like, yeah, I do.
Good for her.
God bless
you,
Margot Robbie. I mean, look, you look amazing. You're not always going to look like that. If you're going to get naked, might as well do it now, right? And that was a good decision.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Man, what a bunch of malarkey this is.
What's that, Dave?
I'm here for it, but come on. Researchers from The Ohio State University say people who enter adulthood at a normal weight and start to pack on the pounds later in life actually live the longest. Researchers looked at two generations of Americans following the residents of one city in Massachusetts and their children for nearly 70 years. Mm-hmm. The findings reveal young adults with a healthy BMI who gradually become overweight but never obese have the greatest lifespans. But that's not how anyone reads this, right? You're like, now I have an excuse and a license to be fat.
No, and no. I don't like that because, I mean, truly, one of the biggest killers in our country is obesity.
Well, obesity leads to heart disease, and heart disease kills millions of people.
And
yes,
you guys,
it's a blanketed statement, I guess, but...
All three of us have been being healthy so far for exactly 1 month, so we are authorities on this. We know what's going on. Okay. Audrey just gave me a look because she's actually been out for like a year now.
Dave, like, what?
I'm saying as a group now, we are collectively one full month in.
If you think about it, like all the super old people that we know who are like, you know, well under their 90s, maybe even 100 years old.
How many fat 90-year-olds do you know?
They're all small and thin.
None of them.
All of them.
They're all dead.
They're all, that's what it is. They are all small and thin. Like you don't see a 6'5", 260-pound 95-year-old.
That doesn't
exist.
My grandma, who just passed, she was going to be 101 in March, but she lived to be 100 years old, and she was teeny.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd always been small and skinny. And same thing with my grandpa, who lived to be 96.
Damn.
Same thing. He, you know, small and thin, but for a guy to live to be 96, it's pretty unheard of.
My wife's grandmother, very similar to your grandmother, you know, like in her mid-90s, but very small, very thin, you know, like you don't see, like, and same thing with dogs. And this is how you know, big dogs don't live that long. Like you get a little dog who lives forever, like little Blue over there. He's gonna be eternal.
He's really chunky though.
But you know, you don't see a Great Dane that's fat, 15 years old. It doesn't happen.
You know what's really crazy is last night we were watching Tommy Boy, and everything about Chris Farley was
just randomly.
It was just my husband's pick. It was his turn to choose the movie.
Excellent choice.
But we were watching it, and the entire premise essentially was just like joking about how he's fat. I mean, like. Obviously, everything else, but so many fat jokes. Like, he'd sit down on a bench.
They actually have a song, Fat Guy in a little coat.
Yeah. And he'd sit down on a bench, and the bench would break. Yeah.
Hey, lady, there's a whale on your boat.
Yes.
Stop playing with your dinghy.
And I looked over at Andrew, and I said, he's really not that big. And he goes, for the 90s? I mean, if you really think about, like, how much bigger as a, like, individually as a country we have gotten obesity, just, like, looking at Chris Farley, he truly wasn't that. I didn't see him as being that big.
Well, but at the time, you're like, oh, he's so fat and it's so funny. And that's his whole shtick is, you know, he's the fat
guy
falling through tables and everything else. But you know how as you get older, you watch professional sports and the kids that are playing it, and I actually call them kids intentionally,
they are kids.
Look like kids.
They're like 18-year-olds.
Yeah. But then as you also get older and you're watching like Chris Farley movies back and you go, he's not really that fat. You're like, uh-oh.
True. So true.
Yeah. And David Spade, still somehow not that funny.
If we were going to choose one to die early.
No!
I'm just going to say it wouldn't have been Chris Farley, okay? It wouldn't.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show.
So what is the most dramatic thing that you have ever done yourself to somebody that you broke up with, had done to you, or seen done to a friend? Nicole said, I broke up with an ex, and he told me that he had cancer and was dying. Needless to say, when a year had passed and he was still doing just fine, I became a bit suspicious. He lied to her and said, I have cancer and I'm dying. Please don't leave me. And it was all a lie. Like, what if she had gotten back with you after you dropped that lie and then you clearly did not?
Did you have to fake that for
also
ever?
That's not the sort of thing you lie about.
No.
Like, there's people that are actually karma. Dealing with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's karma coming back around. And also, I don't know. I mean, like, is that the move? Because I feel like once people are done with somebody, like, even throwing that out there, because when you are in a relationship that and somebody is sick, it's hard on the relationship for everybody. Like, and if they're already done with you, they'll be like, well, good luck.
Henry chimed in as well over on Facebook. He said, my grandma had her entire car punched with holes in it by a screwdriver. Her entire car. It was 1 week after she divorced my grandpa. Couldn't prove it, but we all knew it was him.
Dude, that is some straight up, like, Boston Tea Party stuff. If it's your grandma.
Your grandma and grandpa.
That's some old tea.
There were holes in the Model T that morning. It was terrible.
That is a Model T. Yeah. There you go.
Now it is. Speaking of being dramatic and vehicles, Crystal said, somebody took a sledgehammer to the front of my car because they were mad at my ex-husband. Not even me. Not even my husband, my ex-husband, dented the frame of my car and everything, had to have it compounded.
Like, I don't know if it's more common now or less, probably less common just because there's video cameras everywhere. But you think about like 20 plus years ago, Dave, when cameras weren't everywhere, everybody didn't have a cell phone, and we weren't connected in the way that we are now. Like, I used to hear about, like, friends of mine who had had their tires slashed by their ex because they were mad at them because they cheated or something like that. But do you think that happens more or less now? And also, why are you messing with somebody's car? I'm 100%. Like, you mess with my car, I'm filing a police report against your ass.
Wow. Warren said, I had an ex tell me, if you leave, I'll kill myself. I proceeded to put a steak knife on the counter and said, have a nice life, and walked out the door. Don't worry, she's fine.
Jeez,
don't threaten me with that nonsense.
Jeez, nah.
What are you doing, man?
This is like some toxic, really, like
really,
people who have
really,
no,
really bad.
No ability to accept rejection very well.
Also, like, he's already done with you. Like, that's you're negotiating with no leverage. I don't know. That just seems like the cancer and the killing ultimatums. These people are already done with you.
Exactly. And I've met Warren before. He's not that great. What? Man. Nothing losing your life over.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So we're talking about the most dramatic thing that you've ever had done to you by an ex after you broke up, or perhaps something that you did that was rather dramatic. And that's when Wendy comes in. I was in the Navy, found out that my ex-husband, number one, had cheated on me more than I thought because I went on a date with a dude who shared hookers with him when he was in Japan. Needless to say, I paid for my own lunch and there was not a second date with that guy. Also, hey, dude, on date with your buddy's ex? Maybe, first off, that's weird. Secondly, maybe don't bring up that you shared hookers.
Is it a buddy or is it just a guy that they were...
Either way, on date number one, being like, yeah, me and your ex shared hookers. Maybe leave that out of your lunch date.
I mean, either she's going to be cool with it or she's not. He was putting it out there.
She said there was no second date.
Respect.
And she said ex-husband number two thought that felony domestic violence was totally cool. Spent 5 days in a holding cell because I knew the police officers that were holding him. Found out that he had planned on coming to the house to get all of his stuff. I had it gone before he even got there. Only thing I left him, one entertainment tower and the couch the dog peed on. Turned off his cell phone and put a password and PIN on the account and told T-Mobile he was deployed, so he had to prove his identity before they'd turn it back on. Did I mention I shredded all of his identification documents?
Holy moly.
Oh.
Wendy.
That's crazy.
Wendy.
See, I don't really understand whenever people go out and do this.
I get that. Like, if the guy's, a domestic abuser, for sure.
If he's smacking you around.
Like, I mean, if it's just like a normal breakup because he was cheating, that's crazy. But if you're going to lay your hands
on
somebody.
Yeah.
All is fair.
Shred
at that
point.
Birth
certificate.
Yep.
Yes.
See you never.
That is both love and war right there.
I just really hope that this guy, if he is a, I hope that she's okay. I hope that more abuse did not come after
as
her.
A result.
Sounds like she's moved on.
I hope
So we're talking about dramatic things that exes did, and I don't know if Allie totally understood the question, but she said, my 9-year-old son came flying out of his room screaming, it's the red ring of death, hysterically crying. I could not figure out what he was talking about until my nephew told me that his Xbox died.
I see what they did there.
Red ring of death, man.
I can't believe that there's another story about this. My ex thought he could win me back by faking that he had cancer, but not any cancer, specifically anal cancer. He followed me to college once to say that his anal cancer was so bad he couldn't stop pooping his pants and asked if I wanted to see it.
No.
That is...
This can't be real.
What?
No.
That is... I mean...
Gross.
Where's your end game with that?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Josh texted us at 833-YO-DUMMY. Craziest thing my ex did was fight my girlfriend's sister since I wouldn't let her fight my actual ex. This was back in high school, and the end result is that my ex kicked the school resource officer trying to break up the fight and ended up getting herself pepper sprayed as well as a bunch of innocent bystanders. Caused a massive police and paramedic response, to say the least.
Lovely.
I know a girlfriend of mine who actually recently had to take her ex to court because whenever they broke up, he started emailing her boss and her boss's wife saying that she
was having an affair
with her boss.
Oh, yeah. She threw the hell out of that guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, they ended up doing the restraining order, the whole thing.
That is so crazy.
And ended up getting his now new girlfriend involved. And having the now new girlfriend sending emails to their boss,
like what kind
her
of
old boss
like
too.
Okay, the new girlfriend. What are you like? How low
you okay
is your self
that?
Esteem that you are doing the bidding of this guy for against his ex? Like
right?
That, I feel so bad for you.
Right.
Like, please seek help.
He's definitely one of those master manipulator, like brainwashing type of guys. So
neat.
You feel really bad for the girl because that's how they're the introduction of their however long new relationship.
Predators seek out people who have hangups.
Yep.
You know, and are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
This one also texted over to us. My cousin broke up with his girlfriend weeks before he was going to have his car painted. It was a very nice old school Impala with a nice shiny paint job.
Ooh.
And his ex threw a bucket of paint remover all over the car and it completely stripped it down.
Dude.
Some parts to the bare metal.
No.
But he was about to get his car painted, so he wasn't even mad.
But still, though. But still.
Still.
Like, the slashing the tires, the keying the cars. Like, and also, I don't understand the, like, even if you don't like Elon Musk or whatever, the random keying of the Teslas, which also the worst car in the world to key because there's 8 billion
they have cameras
video
on
cameras
yes.
on that car.
They're videotaping you. But have you seen that's a thing where people will key no. Teslas because they're mad at them for being electric vehicles?
How dare they want to get good gas?
How dare you not use gas?
Yeah.
That just seems like a jealousy thing.
It's
like,
just so stupid.
You drive a Tesla and I don't.
It's just so stupid.
The dumbest.
Andy said, back when I was a scrawny little teenager in middle school, there was this 6'4", 200-pound girl that had a serious crush on me. She confessed it to me, asked me out. I told her no because I was intimidated. Later that day, she called me at home and threatened to kill herself if I didn't go out with her. Me being scared, I said yes, told a teacher the next day what happened, and broke up with her. That is a
roller coaster.
Quite the 24 hours, man.
Dave and Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
To make sure he's, you know, included in the conversation, I looked over to Ian and said, hey, do you happen to have any dramatic breakup stories from your life? And he said, of course I do, Dave.
Yeah, they're called breakups for me.
Yeah. So the most dramatic, the Mount Everest of your breakups.
The most dramatic was a girl I saw for a very short time named Christina, but she went by Kat. I broke up
did
with
her. Did she have a nose ring?
Yes, she did.
Of course she did.
She looked like...
What does that mean?
Nothing.
Do you guys remember Forbidden from MySpace?
R.I.P.
Yeah, yeah.
She looked like her.
Oh.
I did very well.
Good for you.
But no personality whatsoever.
Aww.
So, yeah. You know, so we would hang out for a little bit, but I broke up with her to go be with another chick, and she decided to attack my mom's house with a baseball bat.
Your mom's house?
My personality came out that
yes.
day.
Wow,
yes.
Yeah, so she does have a personality.
Had to get a whole new garage door.
Those aren't cheap either.
No, my mom was very upset about that.
What did your mom do? Is there any recourse? Like, I'm just trying to figure out.
She wanted to call the cops and get her arrested, but yeah. I didn't want to deal with that. I was a sophomore in high school. I just didn't want
in
the...
In high school?
Why was it so dramatic in high
Whoa.
School, right?
She just felt... Dave, look at me. She had a connection. She
oh,
wanted...
You're so,
she
you're
was,
so
he was the
looking.
One.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
yeah.
the ride or die.
I mean, uh-huh. I mean, even imagine a even younger, more chiseled jaw, Ian.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like granite over there.
Mahoney, you and I have a mutual friend whose wife decided to very publicly throw him out of the house.
Yeah.
Took all of his belongings, threw them out of the house, and put it on Instagram. And keep in mind, like, he was a fairly public figure, if you will.
No.
And so she's like, hey, you better come get all your S before the trash does. And like, his whole thing is like, he very nice suits and everything else, you know, an executive type of individual.
Like, probably
and,
thousands of dollars.
Oh, easily. And threw all. And they have three kids
that's
together.
That's such a dick move.
No. Yeah. Not with
I mean,
kids.
It really is.
Don't take it to Instagram, right? Like, just if you guys are going to break up,
Keep it off
social media.
My wife and I have been divorced for 3 years.
You don't know.
You guys don't know.
Really, huh?
You know
guys get along great.
I really appreciate whenever you're like so invested because social media, you always see whoever is like in a relationship whenever they're married. And then you start to kind of notice like, oh, they're posting a lot of like solo dolo pictures. And then you go through and
then at that moment, the dude at the gym photos.
And their whole feed and that person who they were dating has been deleted.
Good.
And
yeah.
you're like, wait, hold on.
Because that's so,
that's
I
good.
Need it.
Yes.
I need it. No. I don't want
the drama.
I don't
want
it. But I'm like, I'm so invested the whole time. I'm like, wait, it's like a mystery, so, not a murder mystery.
It's
kind of maybe.
It's
like,
the movie
I mean,
ends
murdered.
Before the ending, right? Yeah.
They're always hiding the ring finger.
Yes.
But
and then all of a sudden she changes her name back, or
yes.
it's just her first and her middle name.
I appreciate that, but at the same time, I just want to know what
so
did you do.
I've got a friend who I'm, you know, I've known for you know a little over a decade, and she. She's been married three times in the course of her life. And there are photos from all of her weddings.
No,
Facebook.
Hell
all three.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All three.
You live
like,
your best
doesn't,
life,
doesn't
girl.
Delete anything.
Actually,
like the moment we break up is the moment everything, like, you don't necessarily have to delete it because maybe you want to save those photos.
No,
but
for
like,
what?
At least archive it.
Oh, I am going to tell you right now, you go through any of my profiles, you won't see a drop of evidence that I've ever been with anybody. I lost my virginity to my husband. Like, that is what it looks like.
And then if you divorce him, you will
tie you with him.
And then he never existed. My next marriage will be my first marriage.
The virginity will grow back.
Exactly.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail, 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, it's been a while since you guys talked about the Meat Castle or Sausage Castle restaurant you're going to do. if I remember correct, you're going to have VIP parking for, what was it, the Buick Regal or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we definitely need to save a space for the Oldsmobile station wagon, too, when Dave comes rolling in with his baseball team-sized family.
Right. Message deleted.
First off, it wasn't the Buick Regal. It was Cutlasses and Cutlass, Grand Nationals.
Cutlass Supremes get right up front. In fact, you can actually park in the restaurant if you have a Cutlass Supreme.
My my best friend in high school, she had a Buick Regal. And that thing was a boat.
I bet it was Regal.
I mean, it was probably 20 feet long. I mean, this thing was so big and ate so much gas. Even when gas was under a dollar back then, we could like barely pay to run that car.
You know, I mean, trends come and go, right? But we always talk about how everything is kind of on a merry-go-round when it comes to fashion, especially, right? It's like what was cool 20 years ago comes back around and here we are again. I'm curious if it's going to be the same thing with vehicles, right? You think there's ever going to be a where people get really tired of all of the overly connected cars and they just go, you know what I want? I want an old school car with roll down windows.
Well, I feel like I see a lot of the gutted vans right now, like the old school,
like
I mean,
conversion vans.
Yes. Yeah, if you think of it like from that perspective of maybe the VW vans from back in like the 60s.
The VW vans had a big resurgence whenever it came to all the glamping stuff and all that. But I mean, Ian, you would seemingly be the most likely to jump on some stupid trend like that. Is that appealing to you?
Oh, the van life?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay. Oh.
No way. I don't like nature that much. I'm more, I like concrete and political unrest and
I see. Okay.
Pigeons that don't have anywhere to land because it's just too full.
What if you drove your van to, say, Portland?
You know what? Maybe then. Yeah.
I mean, because there is some political unrest, but there's also legalized everything now. Well,
that would be fun.
Decriminalized drugs,
everything. Yeah.
So I'd get a couple of Supreme instead.
I don't know if these are the most annoying of all the social media influencers, the van people. I really feel like they are because what it is, it's just rich folk who aren't working and have like a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van that they've spent $80,000 retrofitting so they
slightly more annoying person than the van person are all of the influencers that my wife follows where they're just
grumpy.
Let me finish.
You guys are so grumpy.
All they do is they show all these million-dollar renovations. You're putting $400,000 into your backyard, and then they're like, oh, yeah, and we just got this fun little RV for the weekend, and it's a $300,000 RV.
Yeah.
You're
like,
put Madden's RV to shame.
Does that make us grumpy that it's ridiculous that they all they do is Instagram and they've got millions of dollars?
Watch Fake Famous on HBO Max. It is eye-opening, and also what they
Audrey's
say.
I'm taking this personally, like we're coming
you're
after
not
her
an
game.
Influencer. You have a job.
I never said that I was an influencer. Well, I just think that you guys only like very specific things on Instagram or any social media, and anything that's outside of that vein, you guys are very vocal
about
it.
Again, what they said about social media.
I hate
people.
Fake crap on social media.
Media isn't supposed to make you feel better. It actually makes you feel worse.
Yeah,
we found that out in the, what was that one thing that we watched?
Social Dilemma?
The Social Dilemma that Mahoney never wanted to watch.
That made you swear off social media for 1 hour?
Okay, but you did it for
like
2 hours.
You're the Elon Musk of the Dave Mahoney morning.
You did. I don't know, man. I just all of the fake stuff that I see on social media is what drives me crazy, and that's everything. That's the fake pranks. That's
of
the
course.
That's the people that are pretending to have a lot more money than they are.
Ooh, the flexing,
And then there's some people that act like it's no big deal that they clearly just have a few extra $1 million laying around to do all of this stuff, and all they do all day is take you on tours of the latest construction on their stables at their property.
Yeah.
That's annoying, but it's also, in my opinion, mostly fake.
Yes.
They're just faking it for the
grand. Even think about this. Like, look at one of the most, one of the most watched television shows on Bravo, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You take Erica Jane and Joe Girardi, who Mr. Girardi was this, you know, big time. He was like the Aaron Brockovich lawyer and made billions of dollars. They were even to the point where he was running, allegedly, according to the LA Times, was running almost a Ponzi scheme where he was bringing money in and that money would go to the clients he hadn't paid yet. So it's like he was
robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's like one of the guys that's like, he's super, super rich. He has literally brought in billions of dollars, but it's still somehow not enough.
It's like the Bernie Madoff thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Natalie in our chat, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney, said social media doesn't make me feel anything unless I'm looking at hot people like Ian's laundromat video.
Oh, Natalie, thank you
for that
compliment.
Which you can see at Instagram, at David Mahoney on Instagram.
It's taken over the internet.
Double
borderline
tap.
Broke up last night.
Yeah, what up?
Please leave a message after
no influencing happening there.
Whether it be your mom or your dad, who was your guys' parents' favorite musician or band? And did they ever see their favorite musician or band play in a concert before?
Message deleted.
My mom, Elton John, and I took her to see Elton John.
Oh, the Elton John, Billy Joel?
We saw that. That was like one of the very first concerts we ever saw.
Are you talking about the Elton John solo show at Caesar's Palace?
The Elton John solo show at Caesar's on his last hurrah.
That's a pretty good sum right there.
Took my mom.
Those tickets were super expensive, right?
Yes.
Like $800 or something?
Well, for like everybody, it was very expensive. Man. And then my dad's favorite band, which this is going to probably tilt a decent amount of people. He loves Fleetwood Mac. Pre-Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks, he hates. Everything pre-Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks was a wonder. She's amazing.
But they were more of a blues band before Stevie Nicks. They're Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac.
I've never heard of a Fleetwood Mac hipster before your dad.
He is.
Here we are.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So my roommate and I split the cost of all of our streaming services. We have, I think, 4 of them. He let me know that he didn't have the money for them this month. So what do I do? Do I pay it and cut him off, or just not pay for a month and go without?
Message deleted.
Oh, you pay so you can continue to watch it. And also, what are you doing splitting the cost? If you have multiple streaming services, make him pay for the half of them that you don't really like.
Yeah.
And that way, when he doesn't pay, they can get cut off and you don't really miss it.
Yeah. Netflix is $18 a month now.
Did you guys, I'm trying to remember, did you guys used to split, I mean, I know like a power bill and stuff like that, but did you split things like I guess it was before streaming, so it was less specific. But did you guys used to split the cable bill with roommates? I can't remember if I did that or not.
We did.
Did you?
We especially like if there was like a pay per view on there, if it was a boxing match or a UFC back in the day. But the way my wife and I do it, she pays for Hulu, I pay for Netflix, and then we both have Prime accounts.
You still do that with your wife?
Yeah, I mean, we split all of our bills in general.
Yeah, we do too.
But, like, I pay for Netflix and she pays for Hulu, which Hulu is the superior service, in my opinion. But also, we both have Prime because I'm not willing to. I don't want to merge the two.
So would it be weird if I decided that I wanted to get my own Netflix account?
Just create your own little
profile.
Yeah. We have our own.
Just because every time I go, it's all just kid shows, and now my
create
wife.
Create your own profile.
Oh, your algorithm's so messed up.
It's so messed up. And then even with Amazon, it's
you can do create your own profile there too, and on HBO Max. Create your own profile.
It's pretty easy.
My profile picture on Netflix is a capybara.
You even uploaded your own profile picture.
No, you can pick a profile picture. He's really cute.
Dork.
Mine's a blue guy wearing sunglasses.
And also, it's just you and your wife. Like, it's unnecessary for you. Don't be over here shaming me.
She watches all sorts of stuff that I don't watch.
Like what?
I don't know. I don't watch what she watches. She watches on her iPad. I don't know what she watches.
You don't have any idea what she watches?
I don't click on her profile. Hers is an orangutan. And then the capybara's looking at the orangutan, and it's really cute. I'm like, every time we load up Netflix, I'm like, hey, that's us.
Would it creep you out, Audrey, if you really found out that your husband was watching some really odd things for him, like if you went on his Netflix profile and it was all just dramatic?
No, I can't even get onto our YouTube. That's how our YouTube is, because whenever I log on, it's always like some massive nerd stuff. Like he's just like deep diving into like the like critic versions of all the Star Wars that have ever been created.
But why don't you have separate accounts or separate profiles?
He's big into YouTube. And
then you get his algorithm and it screws everything.
But he hates it whenever I'm like, I go in like, top pop for working out. And then I mess up his whole thing.
He's just over there trying to convince you that Hayden Christensen sucks. And then you mess it all up.
No, we're team.
Listen live on demand on the radio.com app and follow at Dave and Mahoney.
They agreed on Hayden. That's why they got married. They agreed on Hayden.
We agree that his emo is supposed to be there and a part of the reason why he becomes Darth Vader.
Maybe Dave, 10 years when you redo your vows, you could have Hayden Christensen present over.
We're gonna come out with lightsabers.
Dave's a hater. That's what he is. Stop hating.
Hating on Hayden.
Hating
on Hayden.
Was that? Was that a Hayden Christensen
yes,
pun?
Yes, it was a Hayden Christensen.
That's pretty good.
Yes,
you are fired.
What? Here's what's making news.
So Amazon, you know, we talked about it earlier, Audrey. I mean, they've enhanced our lives by making things so much easier. But the question is, at what point do we have to kind of pump the brakes on going, yes, you make things convenient, but man, you guys are getting really creepy. So the whole thing with the Ring doorbell and the Alexa, we've heard a number of stories over the last couple of years as those have gained prominence of them recording videos of you in your home when you're walking around naked.
Oh, they do. They go to they get sent to a area to be reviewed so they can
optimize. Target you better. Yeah. And the same thing with Alexa's, right? I mean, they have the speakers that are in your house, but they can also record anything that's being said. You're basically allowing video cameras in your house to be bugged for the convenience of being able to set a timer in your kitchen. And you go, man, like, at what point does it go too far? That whole story about Amazon stealing all of the tips from their drivers really rubbed me the wrong way as well. And get this, there is a new video platform that is going to provide real-time feedback to a driver and evaluate a driver's performance during their shift by videotaping them the entire time.
See, I don't like that. And I think that I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, whenever I was pulling up to the house, saw an Amazon driver dropping off a package for me, and he was sprinting. And in that moment, I realized, because I saw it, because out of sight, out of mind, right? You don't really think, you don't know anybody who works in the warehouses or the delivery drivers. I was just like, oh my gosh, what kind of pressure is this guy under to deliver my package to where he was? I'm not kidding. When I say sprinting, I mean like sprinting to my front door and back to his car.
Well, now they're going to start.
He was trying to get a workout in?
Maybe he was trying to get the workout in. But I mean, I was like, I can feel his anxiety like peeking through this moment right now.
As somebody that has one of the Apple Watches where you close your rings, I can tell you that you don't actually sprint. If you need to sprint, you just sprint with your arms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
run in place, but just with your arms.
One of my friends back in St. Louis has a programming job, and he works for, you know, a Fortune 500 company, but he's luckily, you know, since the pandemic, he's been able to work from home. But working from home, he's now working almost twice as much, and he has to be on camera the entire time.
To make sure he's actually working?
So yes. That is nuts.
But I mean, a lot of companies do that. Like, they'll track your computer, they'll track all your keystrokes.
I get that, but like, you have to be on video constantly for 10 hours a day.
On this new program from Amazon, so it's going to take notes as to whether there is any distracted driving going on. Don't hate that.
No.
In fact, they should do that in 18-wheelers, because if an 18-wheeler is distracted driving, they can kill somebody, right?
Yes.
And see it all the time.
And can we just, you know, like, get a like a meth test?
For real? Like, that's actually a problem.
No, I mean, I know it is, because we both have had run-ins with rogue 18-wheelers that have clearly been, like, methed up.
On uppers to try to get more miles in. They're
so
also
insane.
Going to do failure to stop at stop signs, speeding, other behaviors. If the camera detects any of the trigger signals, it's going to upload the recorded footage. But, again, Amazon just continues to reach, and they just continue to reach.
What about a California stop?
I'm fine with those.
Kind of glide.
I mean, like, why
right
do we have to like wait till your shocks hit the back?
Is that really what you're supposed to do?
Yeah. What? I saw.
I've never stopped at a stop sign.
So I saw the most dark.
I did a rolling stop and hit somebody's back of their car.
What? When?
I thought that they were going to go forward, and they didn't.
They
I did a little roly-roly, and then we just barely touched the tips. Yeah, we got out. And I think that they were kind of a little drunk. So they came out, and they were like, hey, how you doing? And I was like,
thanks for kissing my car's butt.
I'm like really happy that you're so happy about this.
Say thanks for kissing my car's butt.
Yeah.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present The Internet is
Awesome.
Some of our favorite audio from the past few days. This is the first one here is an angry neighbor, and this came to us in Bleep BS. There was a get-together that was happening, and he did not receive an invite. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, again, the idea that your neighbor would be having a party and not invite you, and you would get so mad that you would go do this is kind of ridiculous, because this is all but a guarantee you're never going to get invited to any future get-togethers. But he was mad because it wasn't just a get-together. There was also loud music.
It's your new neighbor. If you have a that big, I'm the it's too loud to not that. You me next time. The damn neighbor.
I know that we bleeped that because it was a part of Bleep BS, but I want to know what the bleeps were. Like, I want to know those words.
Well, he said he had a large party with loud music, and he was not invited. So the next time he has a party that big, invite your neighbors.
So that they can party with you and not have to worry about listening to the music and FOMOing?
This is why we didn't invite you, because you do stuff like this, Larry.
Let's have a listen to it one more time now that we know the full context.
It's your new neighbor. If you have a that big, I'm the it's too loud to not that. You me next time. The damn neighbor.
Leave me alone.
Just invite him to the party.
No, not even once. Man, no. If you suck that bad, like, one person can kill an entire room's vibe.
Ah, speaking of killing vibes, nice segue here. This leads us to our next one. It's a voicemail who talks about good vibes getting killed, and I can't tell if this guy is legitimately from Hawaii or if he is just putting on a terrible accent. You guys tell me what you think.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, but I just gonna tell you, you guys gotta jam more reggae on your station, even if it's once or twice a week, my brother. You guys gonna get good vibes, killer aloha coming back. Raja.
Message deleted.
Is that Chet Hanks? Dave?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about Chet.
Chet Hanks, for those of you that aren't familiar, he is the least talented son that Tom Hanks has had, which is pretty stunning because Colin Hanks, we thought for a long time, was going to hold
that. He pulled it together, though.
He really did. Ruined Dexter.
Yep.
Nailed it in Fargo. Chet has not nailed it with anything. He does do fake Jamaican accents. And this is sort of a mix of sort of sounding Jamaican at the beginning.
And then Hawaiian.
And then
goes
Hawaiian. He throws in the aloha. But one more time.
Culturally insensitive all the way around.
Was it fake or was it real?
I don't know.
That is 100%
fake. You think so?
I don't think it was. I don't know.
One more time.
The more I hear it, the more I think it's fake.
Hey, but I'm just going to tell you, you guys got to jam more reggae on your station, even if it's once or twice a week, my brother. You guys going to get good vibes, killer aloha coming back. Raja.
Message deleted.
I feel like that's real.
To me.
And our chat is split, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney. You can always watch along. Texas Girl said, that's so fake, people don't talk like that in Hawaii. Whereas 3M said, that guy sounds like he really is from Hawaii. So, bit of controversy. Existing down there.
Hawaii Gate.
From Tipsier Toddler this week, we had this gem dropped on us.
Mama Maria loves you. And Maria speaking. High five me, please. Will you please? High five me.
That really sounds like Ian to me. It does.
What?
Yes, this is.
I know I get high pitched when I get excited, but not like that.
When you get drunk, this is you in a nutshell.
Mama Maria. Mama Maria loves you. And Maria speaking. High five me, please. Will you please?
Down to the scream. That's
I can't go that high.
You can. You just did.
How many drinks do you have to get to that point?
Two.
I guess.
Audrey's already
fun.
There.
She is fun. Let's get her a beer right now. All right, two more for you real quick here. Cover Your Ears brought us a beautiful cover of R.E.M.'s End of the World.
That's great. It starts with the
I've listened to this like 15 times this week.
And you love it more every time.
Play it
back.
Yeah. So it sounds like Satan is talking to us.
So if you play it backwards?
Can you play it backwards?
You want it slow or fast backwards?
Fast. Well, let's start with...
Well, let me just play this the hook here. And then let's go backwards at normal-ish speed.
I heard the sinner somewhere in there.
Let's see if we can really make it sound.
Did he say George Harrison as the Antichrist?
I think so. Let's roll it back again in slower motion to fully summon the devil.
This just sounds like a bad score to a...
Yeah, that sounds like too much Robitussin.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Blackfire in our chat said that his furniture started floating in the air when he played that song backwards.
I feel like if I woke up and the Ambien hadn't wore off yet, that I'd be just hearing this.
That's what everything sounds like on Ambien.
Don't tweet. Don't tweet.
I'm going to text my ex. And finally, for the internet is awesome, let's finish things with a good old school fast food freak out from Del Taco. And man, this is a great one.
I'm not yelling, I'm half deaf, but I'm just saying, look, how come my fries ain't like the employee sitting down on his break? I am calm. No, I don't want my tacos, I want a refund. This is not right, how come my fries is all nasty? My fries is nasty. I'm not yelling at you, ma'am, but this is ridiculous. I asked for fresh fries. I feel like I gotta have a diarrhea. I feel like I gotta
Let's try that one more time, but also in devil form.
Fresh fries. I feel like I gotta have a diarrhea. I feel like I gotta
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So things are rapidly going downhill for Marilyn Manson. We talked about this throughout the course of the last several days. In Marilyn Manson's home, swarmed by cops after there was a worried friend that actually called for a wellness check, saying that he'd been unable to get in touch with him for hours. Several officers went to the house in the Hollywood Hills and made several attempts to get him to come out and speak with him. To no avail, though. At one point, the LAPD helicopter was circling overhead, shining a spotlight onto the property. Sources say that Manson never answered, but was there, in fact. Cops were able to get a rep to get in touch with him, who said everything was fine. He just didn't want to come out, and the cops left. So they were there to make sure he was okay. But, I mean, it's been a really, really, really bad couple of weeks for Marilyn Manson. Some of it, reportedly, because of his own doing, so, right? I mean, Rachel Evan Woods, she accused him of some pretty heavy stuff.
And she has finally just named him.
Yeah. Right? There's been a number of other people that have come out and said that happened to them as well. I don't think that it's a real surprise to anyone
Did Marilyn Manson see Trent Reznor?
Is a creep. Yeah.
Trent Reznor, who, you know, I am a huge fan of Trent Reznor's work. You know, the fact that he's moved over to scoring movies now, I love. But Trent Reznor is largely responsible for all the success, or a big portion of the success that Marilyn Manson had. And Trent Reznor came out and said, I've been saying this for years, Marilyn Manson is a piece of garbage.
Well, you know what, though? I think that it's really amazing that she came to this sense of, like, a power. It's honestly power. Power over your abuser, power over the things that they have done to you. And I think that even if it's 20, 30, 40 years later, I'm so glad that she got, this is closure for her.
Yeah.
This is something that she needed to happen for her, whether or not that it goes to court, whether or not that there's any repercussions on, like, legality side.
I hope there are, Manson. If he did what he said, if
he's talking about murdering her and smashing her head with a sledgehammer and all this
stuff.
Well,
that has to come from her wanting to take him to court.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So depending on whatever she decides, I mean, I'm just so glad that this at least, hopefully, is giving her a sense of some power over her abuser and some closure to what he did to her, because holy crap.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Very cold. Ice cold.
So Las Vegas' own Panic at the Disco, the original bassist from the band, giving a sharp reminder to the rest of the band why he is no longer a part of the group. He is in a whole bunch of trouble now because he is facing multiple felonies for drugs and possession of a gun.
I mean, is there even really a Panic at the Disco anymore?
It's just Brendan Urie. It's Brendan Urie. Yeah. But yeah.
And Dallin has gone and,
The original bassist, but because he is somehow connected to the band, That's why it even made the news. Pulled over after cops say that he crossed three lanes of traffic without a turn signal, cutting off oncoming traffic. During the stop, the officers say they saw a bag with a white substance sitting inside. And the center console, they discovered substances consistent with cocaine and heroin in his pockets and in the car, and a scale and a lot of little baggies. They also found a loaded handgun, too. So from being the bassist in Panic at the Disco to selling cocaine and heroin.
Don't break the law while you're breaking the law.
Yep.
And use your turn signal, you dope.
Whether you're breaking the law or not.
I wish they would just arrested him for not using his turn signal.
Oh, man.
That tilts me the most.
Went out of town last weekend, and when I was coming, you know, we talked about this briefly. When you're traveling with somebody on the interstate, and even though you're not traveling with them, you just happen to be close to them for 3 hours, This guy did not use his turn signal when changing lanes. Every single time for three full hours.
So you just had to guess what they were going to do while driving.
Yeah, I mean, I just stayed out of his way mostly, but that's where I go back to my original point that all of us should have a harpoon on our car that we can deploy once a month, and we should be able to take out whoever we want, but only once a month, so you have to use it wisely. Can we stop pretending like O.J. Simpson is an all right guy and has paid his debt to society? Because
he's not. Garbage. He's a murderer. And anybody who gets excited when you see him out in public, remember he brutally murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
And he was found guilty of that in civil court, right? So the criminal court did not find him guilty of it, and there was a lot of things that were associated with that.
We all know why that is.
But $70 million is what he owes the Goldman family. Guess how much he has paid of the $70 million?
$5.
$132,000, and that is it. Back in 1997, he was ordered to pay $33.5 million.
But he's out every night at high-end restaurants.
Yep.
And you know what? Shame on you restaurants who actively promote on your social media that he's there.
Right. If you allow a man, like, that's different, right? If your whole claim to fame is, hey, we have a great wine selection and O.J. Simpson's here, you're like,
you're garbage.
Yeah, that's not really a selling point to get him to go.
And number two, he's out golfing at very expensive courses every single day. Where is this? And he somehow happens to live on a golf course as well. So my guess is he's hiding money. I wish the federal government would look into where he's hiding his money and if he's paying his taxes, because this guy is a menace to society and honestly doesn't need to be out on the streets.
So Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay, him and he's got a new relationship and things have progressed to the next level.
Who is he dating?
Dakota Johnson. And so when I first saw this, I read it as Dakota Fanning, and I was like, oh my gosh. What?
Hey. She's older. Old enough now. I know that we all remember Dakota as being as like a 7-year-old.
Right? Yeah. But no, Dakota Johnson is the one from 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. So she was the lead in that.
Who also is the girl who lit Ellen up in that interview, had the really awkward Ellen interview.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Called her out on whether or not, you know, being invited to her party, if she did.
Yep.
You know, kind of like started the ball rolling on the whole Ellen toxic environment.
Yeah. Turns out she was right.
Yeah.
So he bought this this beautiful home a couple of years ago, and his kids are there with him sometimes, right? So he's got Apple, his daughter with Gwyneth. Apple's a girl, right?
Yes.
Okay. She's 16 now, and then they have a 14-year-old as well. 14. An old apple.
That's an old apple.
It's a 2E.
But it's a Cape Cod-style estate with a swimming pool, hot tub, home theater, $12.5 million. So this is obviously Chris Martin from Coldplay can easily afford a $12.5 million house. But Dakota Johnson, I mean, it's pretty serious stuff when she's moving in.
It's been 3 years.
To his place. And, you know, like, he shares it with his kids a lot. It's just a big step. It's a big step.
I mean, you've been together for 3 years.
It's a big step.
I moved in
with my husband after like a week.
Yeah, but that's because you wanted to save on rent.
Yes.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So it's time for Audrey's favorite moment of the week. It's an all-new blooper reel. It's where we highlight some of our screw-ups because there are a lot of them. There's no point in hiding them. You might as well just go ahead and just drag them on out and just deal with them. And also we get a fire beat from Ian every week to round things out. Ian, same question I'll ask you every week. Is there a single star of the blooper reel, or is it once again a team effort?
Well, do you really want to define it as a star, Dave?
Yeah.
More of a piece of turd. I would say probably Mahoney. This week.
See, Mahoney, every time that we call him a star, he will double down on that and say that all of these bloops he does intentionally to try to give you some content.
Yeah, I want to make, I'm here. I try to facilitate to make Ian's job smarter, not harder.
It's kind of like when Chris Farley played the role of Matt Foley, who lives in a van down by the river. He intentionally fell through the table in the living room to get a laugh. Mahoney does the same thing.
Thank you, Mahoney.
Thank you.
You're really welcome. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Definitely, for sure, on purpose. Each one of these.
Well, let's get things going officially.
It's the... that's the blooper reel.
He's got a live-in nurse for his dad, which RIP John Maloney, or excuse me, John Mahoney.
You screwed up that.
Well, yeah. Your own name.
Your own name.
RIP John Maloney.
You screwed up that.
Well, yeah. Your own name.
Your own name.
If I'm getting a butt swap, I want at least a howdy do.
You want to
walk away like a penguin? You want to make it worthwhile?
Deputies said they found the heroin under the seat, more heroin on the passenger floorboard, oxycodone, a plastic bag of meth, more heroin on the passenger floorboard.
That's the oldest thing I have. I have a couch because when I was a bachelor living with a bunch of friends. I have a couch because when I was a bachelor living with... Like I said, Reznor's production on all, on the early albums is what really made it it good.
Reznor's production on all on the.
Despite all of this, and she's an idiot for driving around drunk. But I mean, I feel like that girl does have fun. She'd probably be a fun person.
I was a bachelor with.
Like a
on the passenger floor. Reznor's production on all on the. I'm getting a butt swap. More heroin on the passenger floorboard.
But he's doing things he loves, Dave.
Butt swap.
Well, let's get things going officially.
Dang it.
Butt swap.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Look, you hear it all the time, mostly when it comes to working out, the whole no pain, no gain sort of thing. Well, in this case, one woman who is a cactus smuggler thought the same thing.
Where does this woman smuggle these cactuses?
Well, that's a good question.
It's not where you smuggle everything.
Like, is it across the border? Is it internationally?
I think it's definitely
Audrey.
Audrey. Talk about putting drugs
Audrey.
Up your butt.
Yeah, that's drugs,
well,
not cactuses.
That's why I was concerned as to why you were alluding to where.
So this is New Zealand, which is obviously an island, difficult to smuggle things in and out of. This woman attempted to smuggle 947 succulents and cacti into the country by concealing them in stockings and strapping them to her body.
Yikes.
Ow. She fled to a bathroom when she attracted the attention of a police dog. Are they trained? I mean, Tom, who was with us, was a Metro police officer
almost anything.
For 25 years. Can you train a dog to smell cacti? I guess, right?
Succulents?
Yeah. Succulents and cacti.
Why is this a crime?
Well, because it's with islands and really anywhere. I mean, when you're traveling internationally, they always ask you if you've brought anything with you, including
mess with the local ecosystem.
Exactly.
But if it's succulents, any sort of
live plants
can mess up the whole kit and caboodle. You know, that's why.
She also had 8 endangered and threatened species of succulents. $7,200 is what she had strapped to her body. She was sentenced to 100 hours of community service and 12 months of what they call intense supervision, which is just, I imagine, some lady named Marge with a clipboard heavily breathing right behind
you.
Isn't that what they used to do?
Isn't that what Joe Pryor did in Arizona? Intense?
Oh, I was even just thinking Disturbia with our honorable Shia LaBeouf.
Tom has confirmed, yes, you can train a police dog to smell for succulents.
I hate you guys that you... Just glazing over my tent.
He made an amazing tent joke.
That was so good.
I mean, wasn't that amazing? You didn't laugh.
I didn't get it.
I laughed at him because I was waiting for you guys.
I didn't get it.
I understand
laughing
that.
Too. I was reading the rest of the story. What was the joke?
Former Sheriff Joe Arpaio was famous for keeping convicts in tents. That's why I said, isn't that what Joe Arpaio did in Arizona? In tents?
Oh, see, I was even thinking you were talking about the movie Arizona. I didn't get it. It went right over my head. I'm sorry, Mahoney. Did anybody in the chat get it?
Everybody got it. I don't even know.
See, Cleve said it wasn't intense enough.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
I hate you all.
This show sucks.
I got such good jokes. You guys are just so bad. Not even paying attention.
I just didn't get it.
I like that one joke doesn't land, and
he's so mad.
It
should have landed.
It just wasn't. It did. Literally nobody is laughing in chat.
No one in the chat.
Best joke of the second.
Ian didn't laugh. He said I was waiting for you guys to laugh.
No, you don't
nobody
wait for a
waits
laugh.
For somebody else to laugh when something's funny.
No one laughed.
Fake news. You guys are colluding about laughter.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
You know, sometimes you just got to learn to walk away when you're down, right? And that's a good lesson for gambling and life in general. Unfortunately, one 18-year-old from Edmonton learned that the hard way. She was arrested Tuesday night after calling police in an attempt to get her fake ID back from a bar that took it.
I mean, gotta give her points for having, you know, she had a go-get-em attitude.
Her real name is Blakely, B-L-A-K-E-L-E-E.
Oh, my gosh.
Your parents hate you so much.
Where is she from? That is the most southern thing I've ever. Tell me she's from the south somewhere.
Texas.
Oh, of course she is.
That is so southern. The name on the fake ID was even dumber.
What was it?
It's McCammy Queen. She told officers that she was McCammy, M-C-K-A-M-I-E, McCammy Queen, and the bar didn't believe her. Officers ran the Texas ID, and of course it came back as being an eligible out-of-Texas ID belonging to a dude named Bob Sanchez.
Oh, no.
Sands told officers she did not think she would get caught, arrested for presenting false ID with purposes of misleading officers.
She's 13, too. Yeah, I don't know if you saw her.
Not even close.
Like, not even.
Did you guys
like,
ever have a really bad fake ID? Because I did. There was an old military ID of a dude that had, like, dark hair, a super hairy chest, and was 5 foot five. And I'm trying to pass it off as me.
Mine was a guy who had one glass eye.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Her name was Lucy Copeland.
Lucy Copeland.
Yeah, and, wow. I was from Rhode Island.
If you ever decide to get into adult films, your porn name has to be Lucy Copeland. Yeah,
okay, there we go.
From Rhode Island.
The guy who...
your first film, Rhode Island.
I had a real ID that was somebody else's, and he had a butt cut.
Hell yeah, man. Right down the middle, that beautiful part.
Oh, God. And I'm like, I'm never going out wearing a butt cut. Like, I can't. I just can't. But it always worked.
Your styles change.
No, I mean, this was still like, I mean, this is the late 90s, and I was like 18, 19, 20.
See, I feel like girls can get away if you have blonde hair, like especially if you get it done like bleach blonde, and you can even get away with a brunette ID sometimes because... Girls get their hair done different all the time.
I was so envious of the dudes who had the older brother that looked like them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had an older brother.
But he wouldn't give it to you.
He's very religious and would never hook me up with the ID.
Did you give your younger brother your ID?
Yeah, well, so I don't know what the statute of limitations on this are, so I don't know if I should admit this. But I learned Photoshop, and I had a laminating machine.
You did. Oh, my gosh.
And so I hooked him up with something even better.
Allegedly.
This is before everyone knew about Photoshop.
Yeah.
I think it was actually probably paint that
I
was using.
Well, I mean, that's back
when
they still laminated IDs, too.
And they didn't have, like, the little reflectors in it and stuff. So a woman gets accused of speeding and not pulling over for officers, which obviously is against the rules, because, quote, she felt like it. Mesa police say a woman was arrested after refusing to pull over for a traffic stop, and she told officers, quote, I felt like it was the right thing to do to keep going. They said, no, Hannah, it's not. You were driving more than 70 miles per hour, weaving in and out of your lane, splitting the two lanes of traffic at about 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, and when we go to pull you over, you need to pull over. She didn't. She was booked on unlawful flight from law enforcement, which is a Class 5 felony.
Did they tase her?
They should've.
I didn't tase her.
I feel like if you're not pulling over just because you don't want to pull over, like, yeah, man, anytime I'm getting pulled over, I don't want to pull over.
I don't want to get pulled over. Yeah. I did see one episode of Cops one time where there was somebody that wouldn't pull over, and then they finally got her to pull over in a gas station. She's like, I didn't know if y'all were real cops. They're like, there's seven of us, and we're all in police cars.
And the lights are on.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel like every time you, in those type of situations, don't say, because I didn't feel like pulling over. So you had to, like, go number two or something.
Nah, I feel like that. That's played out. You gotta
Is it played out?
Yeah, that's way.
But what happens if you actually have to poop and it's your real-life excuse? What do I say?
Then they're not going to believe you.
What do I say in opposition of that?
I was having a seizure.
There are bees in the car.
Bees.
They're like, ma'am, bees are, like, dying in record numbers. We haven't seen a bee here in 2 years.
I do feel like it would work if you just...
I feel like I got to have a diarrhea. I feel like I got a
That's believable.
It would work. Yes. It would work. I know a cop who will remain nameless. Who
Tom.
Pulled, no.
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 It's gotta be Tom.
Who pulled over a lady who used that excuse and then purposely made herself go number two.
She purposely pooped her pants?
She purposefully pooped herself?
Wow. That is a move. That is a move.
Did you do that on command?
Did she still get a ticket?
Got a ticket.
Then, friends.
God, you are the worst.
All I want to do is drink beer.
We have made it to another Friday.
Barely.
Somehow.
Someway.
We are drinking today.
No, we are not. So we do beer for breakfast at the exact same time. It's also on your rundown, Mahoney.
I don't have a rundown.
You sure do. It's in your email.
I don't read my email.
Okay.
You didn't send it to my real email.
Yes, I did.
My fake email that I don't check.
Every single night. So I just got handed a beer by our producer, Ian. So thank you so much, Ian.
Careful. You shook it up.
Careful, I actually don't open that over the board.
Oh, really?
All of ours have exploded so far.
Oh, well, let's
this morning.
So let's do this live on air and see what happens.
Don't do it.
Is it really going to explode that much?
Yes.
No, he looks like he pees his
pants. Like beer.
Yes, Dave. Just do it. Not away from the on the board.
Chug it. Oh my gosh, it's literally just spewing all over.
He does not listen.
Whoa. Oh my gosh, he seriously
How is it that shaken up? What is going on?
We don't know. It's been sitting in the fridge for 2 weeks. I bought this last week.
It combusted.
Why would you do that to me, Ian?
It exploded all over.
Why didn't you warn me?
You get to call me a producer.
Well, the beer that Dave is spilling all over the floor right now is the Oscar Blues Goodnight Imperial Red. The Goodnight has 8.7% alcohol by volume. Today being served from a 12-ounce, apparently very carbonated, shaken up forest green can that was brewed just under 2 months ago. It has a nice note on the bottom saying, "This will taste glorious." I paid $9.99 for a six-pack of this beer.
Shane said, that's why we love Dave. He lives dangerously. Some call it dangerously. Some call it just stupid.
That's how the show gets taken off the air. We don't get fired. Dave ruins the super expensive equipment in front of us, and we are just physically not able to broadcast this show anymore.
He's using the prep sheet now.
Well, I mean, what do you got to do something, right?
The five categories in which we rate every single beer for breakfast, look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Proper glassware, serve this out of a pint or a mug.
Do you think it's safe to open the rest of it now?
Probably. I think most of it spilled out. There you go.
I'm so nervous.
Serve it anywhere between 40 and 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's start off with the look.
Hang on. Ian just brought toilet paper in here to clean it up.
Well, what else are we? We don't have, like...
How do you have an extra roll of toilet paper in your studio?
It's been the whole time. I mean, there's a toilet paper shortage for the last year.
I know. Why does he have an extra roll
in his
broadcast studio?
You can never be too
prepared. Continue. I'll just clean
this
up.
You never know.
Okay. The look of the Goodnight Imperial Red pours a hazy orangish red with 3 inches of very dense white head that left behind a massive amount of sticky lacing down the side of the glass here. I don't know if we just got like an overcarbonated batch of six packs.
I'm thinking that's it, man.
But because, I mean, literally, nobody has touched these beers in weeks, and they all exploded. Three different ones from the same six pack all exploded on us.
Carbonated.
Let's move on to the next category, which is let's all take a big whiff of the smell.
So disheveled over here.
For me, the nose starts with a smattering of piney hops paired with like a light citrus in there and I don't know if you're picking this up, Ian, or not, a underlying sweetness.
Getting the sweetness. You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Laffy Taffy, not a Laffy Taffy, but like a...
The dance?
Yes. Fruit by the foot.
Oh!
Yeah, kind of that fruitiness I'm getting.
The weird candy fruit leather.
Yes, the fruit leather.
Do they still sell fruit by the foot? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. Did that get canceled? For some reason.
I mean, did we move it to like foot by the centimeter or the
metric system?
Yeah. Maybe it's sold out. They wanted to go make money in the rest of the world, not just here in America. Let's move on to our favorite category in the beer for breakfast, which is the taste. Yes. We are drinking the Oscar Blues Goodnight.
I will say this much. When you have to violently start drinking it out of the cracked corner of a can, it's still pretty good.
Well, I mean, the head on this
lasts
for a long time. If you look at the side of my glass, there is a ton of like lacing that was there. But let's cheers. We've had a good week, friends.
Cheers.
You know, even though that Dave forgot to bring his beer in, I don't know why he always relies on me to go get it.
You're
for
the beer guy. That's the one thing you do around.
I brought
here.
It into the station.
And then you bring it into the studio.
And then he didn't even go and get it. He made me go and get it.
There's a bathroom in my house, but I pooped in the living room. No, like it's important to finish the job. Go to the bathroom.
Let's all drink.
Okay.
I'm trying to, you know, commiserate with you. Celebrate another week that we've survived.
What? We're not down in the trenches, dude. It's a radio show.
Yeah, this isn't World War II.
Yeah, we survived.
And we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the taste of the Goodnight Imperial Red?
Now, the Imperial Red India Pale Ale is a name that just frightens me because I'm not a big IPA guy, and then Imperial is just kind of intimidating. But when I took a sip of this, it goes down way too easy for, what is it, 8.7? 8.7?
Yes.
And it has a variety of flavor in there, which I really enjoy.
Did you say that's it?
No, I said this is 8.7. Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised it's that high because yes, the drink's very easy.
There's no alcohol. Very easy. I don't taste any alcohol. I am getting that fruitiness, and I feel like the hops really do come out on the back end.
I'm with you right there, you know. And by the way, good night is not good night. It's G apostrophe night, like a Sir Arthur.
I feel like I'm not enjoying this beer as much as I should because it's so cold in this studio right now. Audrey is going through menopause or something, and she has cranked it down to 61 degrees.
66. It automatically did that. I
am nipping out.
I could cut glass with these things right now.
Well, I like that it's keeping our beer cold.
Yeah, there's like diamonds in my shirt.
Okay, all right, fine. I've been doing that all week to you guys.
Really?
I've been messing with the thermostat?
I've been doing that all week.
Why?
I just want Mahoney to nip out.
What?
Are you
Why?
Serious? What? Have you really been? Because yesterday got all the way almost to 80 degrees.
And you guys get mad when I call him a producer.
What a
gosh. No, you are not an amateur doucher. You are a producer.
Are right, you kidding? Yes. Are you? Have you seen
God, it's
bundle,
so cold
bundle
here.
Up, guys. Bundle
oh
up. It's going to get chilly.
Put it all the way down to 66.
Dave, what are your thoughts on the taste of the Goodnight Imperial Red?
It's good. I mean, it's stunningly easy to drink at 8.7%.
Yeah.
It does have a bit of a bite, almost like a hop bite on the backside. So
that exists for sure, yeah.
It hangs out, you know, after the fact. So if you don't like kind of the aftertaste where there's a little bit of that bite.
Well, it's a little piney, but it's not too
bad. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, I'm a fan of hops. I'm a fan of IPAs. It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I kind of like it. It surprises me, and maybe it's because the temperature of this is as cold as it is, but it really does go down very, very easy.
Yeah, very easy start to finish. Even as it warms up, it starts to get, you know, you get a little bit of that alcohol, faint alcohol in there. But for me, I think it starts off, you kind of get those bright hops at the beginning, and they're not super piney up front. A little bit of bready yeast in there. The sweetness, like the nose, kind of follows as well. I think this is a very well-balanced and layered beer when it comes to the flavors. A little bit of citrus in there as well, but overall, the nice hop finish there at the end gives you a nice little reminder that you're drinking something that is almost 9% alcohol by volume. The mouthfeel on this, medium-bodied, rich, very smooth, and that's one of the things I like about the taste on this too, the richness of this beer. You know, there's some IPAs out there that are just like the Imperial IPAs or the Triple IPAs that are just big in the ABV but don't have a lot of flavor. This I feel like has many layers and a whole lot of flavor. The drinkability,
where are these guys out of?
Colorado.
Okay.
And so they've been around since, I believe, 1997.
Did you say what it says in the bottom of the can?
Yes.
Okay.
It says this is going to taste glorious. Yeah, Oscar Blues has been around since 1997. This beer particular has been around since, I believe, 2005.
Can you imagine starting a brewery back in 1997, like well before it was cool to start a brewery?
It was when it was starting. Like,
it was just starting.
Yeah. And they've done a really great job. I mean, they're distributed throughout most of the continental United States. And for me, like I said, this brewery, Oscar Blues, has been a staple of the craft world for the last 20 years. And I've been a fan of the brewery since I first tried it many years ago. And I think the Goodnight Imperial Red is a really good beer. And I love seeing something that has a really big APA that drinks easy, yet has a huge amount of flavor that just rounds it all out in a perfect way. So can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Yes, sir.
On!
That's
a horny dolphin.
Dolphin is next to drum roll. Sorry, here we go.
On! Mahoney's Beer Scout Supremacy, I give the Goodnight Imperial Red IPA a 3.9 out of 5.
She's hell of fire. 10, 10, 10, 10.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know, I really don't get why some restaurants call themselves home-cooked meals. I mean, it's really just an excuse for crappy food, isn't it? It's not home-cooked. And yes, I'm looking right at you, Cracker Barrel.
Message deleted.
Don't you come a Cracker Barrel like that, you son of a bitch.
Cracker Barrel just started selling booze.
And?
So all is forgiven.
My sister works at Cracker Barrel. Dude, she loves it.
I love Cracker Barrel.
Hash browns with the cheese and the bacon on them? Are heavenly.
Do you know what did me wrong one time? You're right. The way they melt the cheese on it, it's not just like where they take a Kraft single and throw it on top like at Waffle House. You know, it's really like in there.
Yeah, it's almost like a I think they call it
that.
Yeah, hash brown casserole.
Yeah, I think that's,
which is phenomenal.
One time when I was younger, I was on a trip with, I think my cross country team, and we stopped at a Cracker Barrel, and I don't know why. I was such a stupid child. but I ordered the catfish.
I heard the catfish there is pretty good.
It is not.
Oh
no, it tasted much like a catfish. Yeah,
yeah, terrible.
Not, yeah, not.
You don't
good.
Like this flavor of like southern fried catfish?
I thought I love it. For whatever reason, on that day I thought that I would, but no, it tasted like a bottom feeding catfish.
No, but they're so fatty. They're so good. Catfish is probably one of my favorite trashy fish, next to probably like tilapia.
I feel like
that's a really good insult. If I called you a trashy fish.
That is good.
If I called you a trashy catfish.
I mean, that's it's
a
true.
A trash fish.
I mean, trash fish. That's what a catfish is. It's
yeah.
trash fish.
Yeah.
If you can grab a catfish with your, if you can fish out a catfish with your hand.
Yeah.
And actually pull it out because it's that dumb.
Yeah.
Yes, it's called noodling.
Yeah,
if I can noodle a catfish out and it's that dumb because it burrows into the mud, it's not a smart fish and it's just really just fatty.
You ever see like a whole school of catfish when they're on the surface looking for food from like.
They'll eat like anything.
Yeah, but they're all their little mouths open and stuff.
Going back to Cracker Barrel, I don't like going there because they have that like little game with the golf tees.
Golf tees.
And I'm always ignoramus. I'm always an ignoramus.
You need to look up strategies online.
Oh, you cheat on those?
You Googled how to win that game?
How is that cheating?
That's cheating.
No, it's not. It's just looking up strategies.
Yeah, you're
just because I'm smart enough to look up
strategies.
Are you
impressing everybody at Cracker Barrel? Is that why you go there?
You're like, hey, y'all, I'm about to beat this thing. I'm down to three tees.
You guys see this?
And not only do you have to get rid of all the tees, you have to land back in the original hole that you started in or that was open.
You're the original open hole.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm kind of with Mahoney. There's nothing special about Valentine's Day. My husband and I have been married for 19 years, 8 months, and 29, 30 days. We do little romantic things for each other throughout the year. We don't need Hallmark telling us you need to be nice to your loved one because we do it all year. So, Mahoney, I got you on this one.
Much appreciated.
Message deleted.
Thank you for having my back.
What a stupid hot take. It's like Mahoney's, no, we don't need Valentine's Day. I don't need another day to celebrate my love for my wife.
My
I do it all year
day.
Long. You celebrate the first time you guys ever met,
that's
your
right.
actual wedding anniversary, yep. and the first time you guys
Those
ever had sex.
Those are all important things. Well, the first time we had sex was the night she became my girlfriend, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
We consummated our relationship.
Have you unchained her, by the way?
Yeah, please. Get her out of the
She's got to go to work.
I mean,
I can't afford that house.
There's this whole idea that like you're too cool for
not
a Hallmark
cool.
holiday is just such garbage.
It means nothing to me. It
of course
means
it doesn't.
Nothing to me. But our relationship, those dates that you just listed, all mean something.
I appreciate the reminder. It's like when I get a little ding on my phone that I have a meeting in 10 minutes. Hey, thank you for reminding me. I need to show my wife how much I appreciate and love her.
I don't use that on my calendar. I don't use that feature.
You don't use a calendar.
Exactly.
You don't check your
know.
Email. You don't accept meeting requests.
Why would I?
You suck.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney.
And I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Okay.
I mean, like, you suck.
So what are you getting your wife for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
New ring?
A new ring.
New
that's
kid.
Pretty. That's pretty.
Yeah,
impressive.
She just had a new baby. I feel like she should get her a new ring. Is that what usually happens the following Valentine's?
I'm going to take her to dinner, and maybe we'll go on a trip or something. It's shared. It's shared. It's a shared
he
love.
He has no idea.
I haven't thought of anything yet. It's not until next week.
Keep alone. Coming for me. I'm going to keep dropping these things.
Get out of here.
Listen live on demandontheradio.com app and follow at Dave and Mahoney.
So as we round things out today here in Las Vegas, Ian says he's a little bit drunk, and I'm ready for the weekend, man. I've been looking forward to the Super Bowl. Got all my bets lined up.
Who are you taking?
Feeling good. I got to take the Chiefs, man. I'll take the Chiefs in the over.
Did you
I know
tease
it's,
it down
I,
at all?
I know good. It's a chalk move. Now, I mean, there's no point in teasing it, right? Because, yeah. I mean, if they're 3.5-point favorites, then if you tease it, you're teasing it through dead numbers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make
why
sense.
Why even
and,
bother at that point?
And
yeah.
I'd be able to do a 6-point teaser, so it'd make them 2.5-point dogs, which they're going to lose or
probably
lose by field
more.
Goal,
yeah.
you know. So, I mean, look, Tom Brady is always live, and it's in Tampa. I get weather, maybe a concern, this and that. The Chiefs are just so hard to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the weapons that
they've
have.
They've been the best team in football all year.
And
last year as well.
You can make an argument that if you ran back that game between the Packers and the Bucks, that
Bucks wouldn't have won.
The Packers would win 2 out of 3. The Bucks just got it right on the day that they needed to get it right, and Tom Brady
it's
has
the Tom
the
Brady
ability,
magic.
He has the ability to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not discounting the Bucks.
No.
I'm not mad at anyone that's betting the Bucks.
Not
but,
at all.
For me, it's the Chiefs and the over in a game like this.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm doing nothing. Like, if I were to bet,
you're not betting on it?
If I were to bet, I think the Chiefs are going to win, but if I were to bet on it, I would put money on the Bucks.
Because you're a Chiefs
because
fan.
Because I'm a Chiefs fan, and if they lose, I at least want to make some money.
Something that we are doing this weekend, and we'd love to have you join us, is we are doing a virtual pregame, little happy hour action. It's going to be from noon until 2 on Sunday, so it's well before all the stuff really gets going. But if you want to drink in advance of all of your planned drinking.
And noon is the perfect time to start drinking on the Super Bowl.
Nobody
perfect.
Judges you if you start drinking at noon.
Well, especially
11:30.
But if you're going to be drinking along with your third favorite radio show.
That's right. Yeah. So it'll be on twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney. It'll be on our Facebook page, on the Alt 107.5 Facebook page as well. Church of Laszlo will be joining us. Nicole Alvarez will be joining us. And we'll all just be taking it back. Have you guys decided what you're drinking yet? Do you know what you're... I mean, I know that we're going to have the beer that you selected, which includes some Stone, right?
We got the Stone IPA. Yes. That's one of the ones that we're going to be drinking. We're going to be drinking the Two-Hearted Ale from Bell's. We'll also be drinking the Hop Slam from Bell's. And we're bringing in a Kansas City beer, the very first craft beer I ever had in my life.
Ooh.
That got me on the path to where I am today. Without this beer, I would not be here today. The Boulevard That's Unfiltered Wheat.
That's who we have to blame.
Yes.
Nice. Mm. Okay.
Ian, what are you drinking?
The Unfiltered Wheat, I'm very excited for.
Excellent.
And then Blue Moon.
And Blue Moon.
Because, yeah.
Have you tried that Blue Moon Light or
no,
whatever that...
No, blasphemy.
No?
Why would you do that?
Oh, this guy's a Blue Moon purist over here. Okay.
You're right. What's it called? Right. Do you know what it's called? Other than...
Is it like Skyline or something?
Something like
it's
that.
Something dumb.
I like the can design. I haven't tried it.
Hang out with us on Sunday. Please. I need to hang out with more people than these guys.
That's so rude.
What, Dave? It's just, and then you doing that. Just please hang out with us on Sunday.
We're not
please.
Good
noon,
enough.
Noon until 2. You guys have a great weekend. Hopefully, we'll see you on Sunday. If not, enjoy the weekend and the big game.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home, sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.